towards the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Take these holy syllables and blow them into the palm of your hands. Raise them above your head and pour them over and through yourself, a shower of blessing. Today's teaching is on peace and balance, and the further title is Perfected Activity and Control of the Will. I begin with a quote today by Hazrat Inayat Khan, which reads, "Peace is perfected activity. That is perfect, which is complete in all its aspects, balanced in every direction, and under complete control of the will." Last month, we read the teaching of Hazrat Inayat Khan, which stated, "Will is not power, but it is the only power. It is all the power there is. How did God create the world? By will. Therefore, what we call willpower, in reality is God power, a power that increases by our recognizing its potential. And this proves to be the greatest phenomenon in life. So we must recognize this potential and tune to God. The seed of that divine being is in our soul. So it's, we tune this, we're tuning our soul like a fine radio wave or Bluetooth wave, if you will, but it's the God-tooth will. So today's teaching, we read, if we consider the conditions of life today, we see that however much one thinks one has progressed, certain aspects of life are neglected. And how much more true is this today than it was in Hazrat Inayat Khan's time? I mean, he passed in 1927, so these words were spoken before February 5th, 1927, when he left this world. And he goes on to say that we've neglected ourselves and society has neglected itself in the way of health, repose, balanced thinking, and in the way of kindness and love to one another. All these things are lacking, and the spirit of the present time seems to be going in quite the opposite direction. Selfishness is to be so much on the increase. Real religion, the spirit of forgiveness, generous giving, regard for old age, refinement, culture, all these seem to be disappearing. And we also know that this is true, that we find that we tune into the news or even movies and television programs, and this idea of a kind of refinement and a balance of life and repose seems to not be even recognized anymore. If this is the spirit, how can we expect to find harmony, peace, and love, which makes a heaven on earth? In the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done, thy will, God's will, be done on earth as it is in heaven. But how can it possibly be unless we ourselves tune ourselves to harmony, peace, and love, thus making heaven on earth? And this, I think, is Murshid's indication to us. He's redirecting our inner compass and our outer manner in a way in which we can make heaven on earth. Murshid goes on in this teaching and says, it's useless to discuss peace on earth. What is necessary just now is to create peace in ourselves, that we ourselves become examples of love, harmony, and peace. The only way of saving the world and ourselves. Let us try to be more considerate of others. Let us ask ourselves, of what use am I in the world? Am I born for a certain purpose? Now, a few days ago, I was interviewed by Wally van der Swan. He's Dutch by birth, living in Germany, and an author of many spiritual books on the subject of Vinayak Khan. And he's been asked to write the biography of my beloved teacher, or one of my beloved teachers, or the last of my living beloved teachers, Pir Murshid Hidayat Inayat Khan, the younger son of Hazrat Inayat Khan. And in our discussion, we were talking about discovering the purpose of life. And of course, Murshid Hidayat thought this was of great importance. And I was expressing to Wally that sometimes I think that, or I find, or I witness that the quest for spiritual elevation, advancement, is sometimes the greatest ego trip. And that's because I think people do that to replace having not found a purpose in their life. And so we must be guarded on that, that we shouldn't be too much in regard of seeking spiritual advancement or recognition, I should say, inward spiritual advancement, yes, but discovering the purpose of life and living from that purpose and giving it to the world is the highest spiritual goal one could have. And Murshid goes on to say, and then we ask ourselves, am I born for a certain purpose? And then try to train ourselves in self-control by the mystery of breath, the best means for accomplishing that purpose. And so here, Murshid's emphasizing the importance of breath. And of course, I'm asking each one of you, I don't expect a report, but you answer within your own heart and soul. Are you true to these breath practices on a daily basis? Because here Murshid is saying, and then we train ourselves in self-control by the mystery of breath, the best means for accomplishing that purpose. And why is that? Well, in our last classes a year or more ago, we talked about the lamp is like a globe over the heart and the soul. And we even looked at diagrams that were concentric circles of soul moving towards consciousness, moving towards feelings or heart, moving towards mind or thought, and then eventually manifesting in the body. Well, we're given these purification breaths, and we're going to go through them below so that you'll have them. You can use them every day. And then you have no reason not to, because you'll have these instructions. So these are the instructions as given by our Murshid, Hazrat Inayat Khan. He says, inhalation and exhalations are done rhythmically in a restful, quiet manner, slower than the usual breath, yet slightly fuller. So here, just tune into your breath, your rhythm, and yet let it be very relaxed, and maybe slow it down a bit and let it become very full. Now, as we do these breaths, imagine that we're cleansing, wiping the dust from the globe of the lamp. Because in this way, this is what these breaths are doing. It's cleansing these different levels of existence within our being so that the pure light of the soul can emerge and the purpose of our life can be actualized. He says, while inhaling and exhaling, one's thoughts are focused on receiving and radiating the divine power in space. So it's like we become these solar collectors or these energy collectors of this divine power. We bring it into ourselves, we receive it, And then we radiate it out to the world. So we nurture ourselves, our being with this divine power in space, our inner space, and we let it radiate from our being to the outer space. And he says, divine power in space, which is the thing that purifies and revivifies, excuse me, and which inspires and enables the soul to unfold. Enables the soul to unfold. There again, this seed deep within us, but covered up with all these various light shades, lamp shades, globes. It's like the onion of St. Teresa, that we peel these layers back till we get to the sweet pearl, which is the soul. And I would like to just explain a little bit about how this relates to our levels of consciousness. So there are four main breaths that are given, and they relate to earth, which is our body, the most, perhaps the most concrete manifestation of our being, but it also relates to the earth element. And we know that Murshid guides us to read the holy manuscript of nature. He says, the only holy book that can illuminate the soul. So first is the earth, and the earth does purify. We know that when people are in shock, what's done? Put them down on the earth, have them lie down, cover them up. We know that in some native traditions, moistened earth not only makes vessels, but it also is put on wounds to heal it, heal these wounds. So it, but the earth element also, what are the qualities? There's a stillness there. There's a feeling of stability, which can lead one to a kind of confidence and certainty within. So we're purifying this element of all traits of the ego to get to its pure essence. This is the most solid ground form. The next element, which we'll breathe, is water. And water, we can see, we can collect it in vessels, but it evaporates and it is also fluid. So while we can contain it in its natural form, it's constantly moving. Its motion is downhill, descending. So it brings the Holy Spirit with us, with it, its motion. It's cleansing. We know that we use this in baptism, in ritual bathing, in bathing in every day of our bodies to purify. We drink it to purify inward. But it also corresponds to our blood, our circulatory system, our lymphatic system, the fluids in our system. And what does water teach us? It teaches us to be fluid and to move with ease around obstacles, to not get stuck in life, to just keep moving gently. The next element on the elemental scale, and I'm moving upward, I'm using my fingers horizontally placed as a demonstration of this. So the next element is fire. Now fire, while we can put a shade around it, we can't completely contain it because it will smother. And it's always dancing and moving. Fire also purifies. We know that things that need to be purified are heated to destroy so-called germs. And we also note that, what does it do? It creates warmth. We build bonfires to warm ourselves in winter. The sun is fire. It gives nourishment to the world and to the plants. And what does that fire element give to us? A warmth of heart, a brilliance of character, and it illuminates our path. The next element higher on the scale is air. Air, we can't see it, but we can feel it. And sometimes we can hear it rustling through the trees, the movement of the ocean, the whistling of the wind in the high mountaintops. It's a powerful force also, but it's unseen, isn't it? Well, it can move in every direction very quickly. And air purifies. I remember as a child, my mother on Saturdays, even when it was very cold in Missouri, she had us open all the doors and windows for just a short time to let the breeze run through the house and to purify what she called the stale air and to cleanse it of germs. So air is purifying also. And how is it represented in our body with our very breath? I want to go back to fire for a moment. How's fire represented in our body? By the warmth of our body. So the last element, which we won't be breathing today, is the etheric element. And this element is the element, the last element, but it's the element, a very refined element from which all the elements are dispersed and through which all the elements return. And this is a blessed teaching in life, because as we pass, the first thing, as we are moving towards our heavenly body, the first thing that grows weak is our physical body. And then perhaps the blood changes, the urine changes, things start, the lymphatic system and our circulatory system begin to become sluggish and slower. And then the body becomes cold to touch, and then the breath leaves, and then the body becomes etheric in nature. So Mersha's words, as we do these breaths, and they will move in five different directions. I'll give you the instructions and I'll say the words, but let me say them here. And they are said silently and inwardly by you, but I will say them outwardly for us to, for you to follow if you're not familiar with the phrases. The inhalation is silently repeating to oneself, I inhale divine light and life. So divine light, L-I-G-H-T, and life, L-I-F-E. And then after we take this in from the divine power and space, we radiated it out through every fiber of our being, like a great lighthouse. And we say inwardly, I radiate divine life and light. So the first breath is in through the nose and out through the nose. And I just want to clarify again, the inhale is I inhale divine light, L-I-G-H-T, and life, L-I-F-E. And the exhale is I radiate divine life, L-I-F-E, and light, L-I-G-H-T. So there's kind of a neurolinguistic twist to that, where the two words at the end shift between the inhalation and the exhalation. And I want to note that it will also be clearly written in the notes. And if you go to the study guide, all the whole complete instructions is on a separate page at the end of the study guide document for you to refer to. So let us begin. We are breathing in through the nose and out through the nose in a natural, relaxed, yet slightly fuller motion. We're considering that this breath is coming in through our body, not only through our nostrils, filling our lungs, but that all of our skin and our whole system is breathing this breath. Everything is being absorbed, as Murshid said again, from the divine power in space. And we're breathing in through the nose and out through the nose. So let's exhale and breathe in while repeating silently, I inhale divine light and life. And exhale, I radiate divine life and light. Again, in through the nose, I inhale divine light and life. Out through the nose, I radiate divine life and light. Breathing in, I inhale divine light and life. And out, I radiate divine life and light. Repeat the last to yourself, in through the nose and out through the nose. The next element could be associated with water, the previous one with earth. Again, we're moving up the elemental scale. The nose, the breathing goes in through the nose and out through the mouth. Again, it's a descending motion, like water, a beautiful waterfall, bestowing blessings from the divine power of space upon us and through us. We breathe in. I inhale divine light and life. We breathe out. I radiate divine life and light. Breathe in the nose. I inhale divine light and life out through the mouth. I radiate divine life and light. In the nose, I inhale divine light and life. And out through the mouth, I radiate divine life and light. Two more on your own silently. The next element is the element of fire. The motion of the breath moves in through the mouth. It descends as if to the fire in our belly and rises up as light as we breathe out through the nose. So we're breathing in through the mouth and out through the nose. The motion is ascending in through the mouth and out through the nose. The phrase again is, I inhale divine light and life. I radiate divine life and light. I inhale divine light and life out the nose. I radiate divine life and light in through the mouth. I inhale divine light and life. I'm breathing out through the nose. I radiate divine life and light. Two more times on your own. Final breath that we will do here today is the air element, and the air has the capacity to move in every direction freely. It could be likened to the realm of the mind, intelligence, creativity. And the breath is in through the mouth and out through the mouth. Very subtly in through the mouth and out through the mouth. And not only through the mouth, but again, we draw this breath in through every cell and molecule of our being, from the skin inward, filling the lungs, filling the whole being, and radiating it out again. So with the phrase, I inhale divine light and life out through the mouth, I radiate divine life and light in through the mouth. I inhale divine light and life. And out through the mouth, I radiate divine life and light. Three more on your own, breathing in and out the mouth on the phrase silently. And allow yourself to fall back into a natural breath, a natural rhythm. No phrase, just spaciousness. Now, here I'd like to offer a caveat, because this cycle of breaths, along with a fifth breath, is given, and it is given under different names and with different concentrations. So there's no dispute. These are the purification breaths. And I kind of commingle the teaching with the elemental breaths. So again, each breath has an element and a concentration. In other teachings, the concentration corresponds to direction, which I gave somewhat here, and also a color. The Sufi healing breaths are also given this way with a phrase. So these breaths are all the same. However, they're given different concentrations as the purification breaths, the elemental breaths, and the spiritual healing breaths. So why is it important to do these breaths every day? Well, as I said before, we could say bombarded or gifted with impressions that come from all around us, whether it's something we read in a book, the newspaper, the news, friends, people. And, this is all around us. These vibrations are all around us. And we can collect these vibrations and they become like dust on the mirror or steam on the bathroom mirror or dust on a lampshade or a globe. And, in order to let the clarity of our souls shine through, these purification breaths can help us remove these impressions to polish the mirror of the heart, the lamp of the soul, so that so that the true light can shine through. There's nothing more precious than that. And so please take a few minutes a day, preferably in the morning, but not necessarily. I do mine in the morning, and I find that it helps to clarify things. I also do them sometimes in the evening, especially if I've had an exceptionally stressful day, to remove those impressions before I sleep. So please use these practices to help aid you and support you in your daily life. Okay, now back to Murshid's teachings of the day. The secret behind the whole manifestation is vibration. Well, that's profound. To me, it is very profound because we know that the new science, the new physics is telling us everything is just vibrating, but at different frequencies. Murshid goes on to say, vibration, which may be termed movement, it is the differences of the vibration or a vibration, which may be divided into planes, or excuse me, lines first, lines and lines. Again, I'm using my hand as a demonstration, holding out one finger and adding extra fingers so that it makes a plane facing the camera. So the difference of vibration, which is divided in lines, and they form planes of existence, each plane being different in rhythm of these vibrations. So how does this relate to this new physics? Well, the great beings that are manifesting these teachings through physics and science are saying that there's a belief that we actually have parallel universes that are happening simultaneously. And Murshid is saying it here, each plane being different in rhythm of these vibrations. And you yourself maybe have experienced this sort of moving between these planes of consciousness or these planes of existence. So when we take Murshid's words again here, I begin, when we take life as a whole, we can draw one line from beginning to the end. And now I'm holding my hands up as if I'm holding a string or a pole vertically. And so this demonstrates what Murshid is to say here. When we take life as a whole, we can draw one line. And again, it's a vertical line, moving up to down, the beginning and the end, or what we could call spirit and matter, or God and us, our individual self. We shall find that the rhythm, which begins the line, the top of the pole or the top of the line, is fine and without disturbance. So we could call this the etheric element, couldn't we? And the rhythm, which is felt at the end of the line, is gross and disturbing. So as it moves through the planes, it gathers these vibrations. And these two rhythms may be named the life of peace and the life of sensation. Now, Mercia talks about this, peace and sensation, also the difference between exaltation and stimulation or sensation throughout his teachings. And so this is important to sort of let your ears hear and maybe do further research on your own. But he says, peace is independently felt within. It is not dependent upon outer circumstances or outer sensation. And so how do we know this? Well, if we're a meditator at all, we know that under any circumstance, if we've even once touched that place of peace, it becomes a touchstone to return to. And we find that outer sensation, while pleasurable and, of course, interesting to curious minds, isn't all there is to life. And sometimes, in fact, it can be rather disappointing or tiring. So having that repose, which Mershad spoke of very early in this teaching, the ability to turn within and quiet oneself and go to that, you know, your peaceful lotus pad, so to speak, is such a gift. And furthermore, it creates a kind of independence in us where we are no longer dependent upon outer circumstances or people to fulfill us and to give us joy and happiness and peace. Now, I'd like to remind us, you know, if you've read any of the biographies or teachings of Mahatma Gandhi or Sri Aurobindo, great yogi of India, or Nelson Mandela, you know that these gentlemen, all in the quest for freedom, were imprisoned. And I know that Gandhi and Sri Aurobindo endured the most harsh conditions in the most treacherous prison in India during the liberation of India. But what happened during those times? While the outer circumstances were so difficult, even life-threatening, they turned within. And what did they find there? A deep peace that couldn't be destroyed even with death. And they got illuminated, even enlightened during that difficulty. And I believe the same is true with Nelson Mandela. What a great being of our contemporary world. So these are great examples that we can take upon ourselves. So Mershad again says, peace is independently felt within oneself. It is not dependent upon outer sensation. It is something that belongs to us, something that is our own self. Peace is not knowledge. Peace is not power. Peace is not happiness. But peace is all of these. Peace is productive of happiness. Peace inspires us with knowledge of the seen and the unseen. And in peace, it is found the divine presence. It is not the excited one who conquers the world in this continual battle of life. It is the peaceful one who tolerates all, forgives all, who understands all, and assimilates all things. In the next audio file, you'll hear a story of Columbine High School, which experienced on April 20th, 1999, a mass shooting. But what good has come from this terrible tragedy? And we'll do together, recite together, experience together, and study together the divine quality, the divine name, Ya-Ra'uf, which is quiet, loving peacefulness that appears and emerges even within the context of difficulty and lovingly relieves the suffering of others. And I believe the suffering of oneself while relieving the suffering of others. So I invite you to listen to audio file 2, and I send my love.